Hey there, friends. Michael Myers Rothman. What you're about to hear is a clip from our latest installment of The Rental, which sees your Halloweenies and moi included, studying Philip Kaufman's 1978 remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. So how do you hear the full thing? Well, you can become a member of our Patreon, The Rewind. You could find a link in the description of this episode, or you can visit www.patreon.com/Halloweeniespod. Hope to see you there so we can give you one more scare. So we'll talk about Kaufman style in a bit, but I think we should just kind of linger a little bit on the San Francisco element on here, because I think that's pretty much a good place to pivot into like the commentary and the themes at all. So there's a proper distinction between this film, 1978 and 1956, in the sense that so in this film, Dr. Kibner, the great Leonard Nimoy, late Leonard Nimoy, he passed, right? Unfortunately.
Yeah. So
he says in this film, you'll be born again into an untroubled world, free of anxiety, fear, and hate. And that's a pointed change from the 1956 version, in which the Twinner character in that says, you'll be born again in an untroubled world, free of love, desire, ambition, and faith. And so I kind of wanted to throw this out. So what do we make of this change? And how do you feel it really does reflect upon the world of 1978 and particularly what was going on in San Francisco, especially with the runoff of the 60s counterculture movement? Caffrey, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of what I was finding about this movie was making the Cold War comparisons and talking about communist paranoia, but I actually don't see any of that in this movie. I was so rooted in the New Age thinking and these kind of spas that we see and Leonard Nimoy's sort of New Age psychology in my, and I don't know if the movie is necessarily criticizing those things as much as saying that within this kind of environment, it would be easy for something to slip in and overtake it, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know. Do you guys think that it's having some fun with a lot of the New Age therapies and everything, but I didn't necessarily think that it was saying that those things were evil. More that, oh, this is a big sea change and it would be easy for another sea change to kind of slip in there, if that makes sense. Because if you, like you were saying before, the way the aliens are looking at their overtaking of the human race, it's not necessarily, oh, we're harvesting you and eating you or something like that. It's more just about serenity and almost like this higher level of thinking. So it's almost like an exaggerated version of what's already going on with the counterculture movement, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally. Totally. Mac, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Dan. I do feel like, I mean, they are absolutely using these people as sustenance and eating them, but they're telling them that they are going to be fine and, you know, that these things are going to be taken away. The switch, though, is interesting to me. You think that it would, well, I mean, this is far after the 60s, but you think that it would still be free of love, desire, ambition, and faith. Right at the time,
yeah,
and that it wouldn't be free of. I think, like, if you made an invasion now, I'd say you'd say free of anxiety, fear, and hate, because that is so in the zeitgeist of like everything. Like everything you see on the news is just, it's all like telling you who to fear, telling you who to hate, who's to blame for your problems, and that's how the world is being steered today. But back then, I feel like, you know, the 70s pretty much were still, you know, part of the 60s in the sense of the free love, you know, and just like things were simpler, things were easier. And there was a lot more just like the whole thing with, you know, Jeff Goldblum's character and like the poet and like the free thinking, free thinkers movement in San Francisco and like the forward thinking people. Right. And like that people would laugh at, you know, in terms of the more conservative line or whatever. I think like that would be, you think it would still be that, but it's not. I don't know. I'm getting a little lost in my
The lines were a little more concrete as opposed to today where it's so blurred, where it's like everyone, it just seems like a fucking murky blob at this point. But I think what's interesting for me looking at this film is that you look at the 56 one and it seems like they're dealing with such larger tropes of specifically like almost like xenophobia, as of like the outsider coming in, which is certainly what, you know, obviously deals with the Cold War paranoia. And what I think is so interesting of this one is that, I mean, when you think about what has changed in American history from 1956 to 1978, you get this sense of, all right, in 1956, we're still kind of going off the rah-rah of the, yeah, we're the greatest generation. We did it. We have to save the world. By 1978, I mean, Kennedy's been shot, arguably by our own country. You have Martin Luther King. You have the civil rights movement that happened. There's, like, not to mention Watergate. I think there was this sort of paranoia, obviously conspiracy about what was happening within, as opposed to what was coming out with, you know, from within the walls. Because at that point, we kind of knew about a lot of the shit that we were bought into thinking about in the 50s was kind of bullshit from the government. And I think a lot of it was kind of this, what do we, you know, who can we trust within our own country? And I think a lot of that sort of powers what happens with the counterculture movement, where these ideas of love and peace kind of shatter because of what happens with, you know, with everything I just described, you know, even the stuff with Manson, all these things kind of crumble and fall apart. And so they kind of weirdly, I feel like a lot of these boomers at the point, for lack of a better word, I hate using that word, but that's what, you know, the easiest construct to use nowadays. They did turn to these things that were these like pop psychologists, these sort of these new wave movements that certainly is something that even Joe Dante makes fun of with Howling. But I think what's so creepy about that is I think that is what makes this movie feel even more timeless, because you're right, Mac. Like a lot of these things that they say in this quote, I was like, yeah, you could, I think that's why it hits hard today, because all these things it doesn't change. I mean, it's like one of those things where once once Pandora's box is open, it's open. And I think a lot of what happened in the 60s and 70s, is that over the top thinking there? I mean,
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, I think with any,